Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello there. Thank you for listening to The Philosophy Show. My name's Thomas, your host. This is episode 129. And thanks for listening to this half an hour show every Wednesday night. Thursday morning, depending on how you look at it, it's 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and consistently this hour. And again, this is called The Philosophy Show. You can find it at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. And tonight's episode is titled Communication and Offering a Way Out / You're a Big Baby / Might Makes Right. And so the call-in show is area code 6. I mean, the call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. If you want to call in, that's area code 646-929-1344. And so I like to talk about a range of things. I mean, it's philosophy, after all, from the meaning of life to politics to relationships to news and the way to analyze it philosophically and morals and things that, we can learn from and make use of positively in our lives. And in positive, a negative could be a positive. I mean, kind of like if you're watching the news and if you're just seeing a airbrushed image of it, that's not the truth, but that might be perceived as negative. I guess that's a paradox where, or just two different definitions collide, where a negative could be a positive, because if you don't see the realistic negatives, then how are you going to address and fix them to make them positive? And so, anyways, I like the intro music that I have. This one right here. It's a nice little breezy tune here that I found. It's hard to find a public access songs.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And
let me go ahead and pause that. You know, I was saying that it's hard to find public access songs and images, although it's easy to find. It's just I have to sort through them and kind of find the best ones. You know, I've played a little bit on the synthesizer and guitar. I've kind of made my own little intro, but need some work. But that's no big deal, right? This show's not about the intro, per se. And so let's go through the three topics tonight. I mean, unless if you want to call in and just derail the whole setup that I have here, and we can talk about something else. But again, the three topics were communication and offering a way out, you're a big baby, and might makes right. And maybe we can combine them all into one action. You know, everything's kind of some way connected, but we can analyze this, talk about it, laugh, cry, have a couple of giggles and whatever. So communication and offering a way out. I was thinking about this because, you know, when people argue or debate or try to make a point, and to make it not seem like you're telling others what to do. And anyways, no one should. Is it about whether you win an argument, whether your argument's wrong, or whether it's about kind of step by step working out that argument and trying to find out what is the truth, because again, a negative could be a positive, and you know, and if you can acknowledge that or see it when it's obvious or learn from it and build on that, then good for you, right? So so you're in the navigation waters of seeking truth, and instead of just win at all costs, which you know, kind of reminds me of Might Makes Right, but offering a way out is also, if so, offering a way out shouldn't even be necessary, really, if you're just seeking the truth. But if you're tactful, if you're skilled in communication, you know, you kind, and if you're trying to delicately make a point to someone, you know, someone said to me a long time ago that, you know, if you're going to argue with someone, you should offer them a way out. Like, sometimes you don't offer them a way out, and it sounds kind of harsh. And actually, you know what? That is something that stuck in my mind, because it, I guess, just seemed fair, and it seemed like generous, and it seemed like, you know, something I would want done to me. So when I'm mindful of it, I, you know, have more and more tried to, you know, make a point that might be criticism, but also offer a way out, I guess, you know, kind of to let both parties save face or whatever, but still make a point. And that's, I guess, what you would call in politics a long time ago, statesmanship or whatever, or stateswomanship, or, and I think yesterday or today was Women's Day or something like that, so I don't know. There's so many days now. We should have something for every day, though, right? Although, hopefully we don't run out and of days, that is. And, we, you know, eventually we could have, like, two holidays every day or something. And we'll have to remember all 800-something of those or whatever, but 700-something of those Earth years. You know, you think when we're traveling in space in the future, people are still going to use the 365-day calendar thousands of years from now, let's say, like we've, you know, may even have more humans on another planet that has 415 days or something. You think people are still going to have the January through December? But back to keeping the eye on the ball here on this conversation, communication and offering a way out. You know, that's pretty much all I had on that. Anyways, now, you're a big baby, and, you know, someone has to tell you, but the good news is we're all big babies. I mean, even someone that is so harsh and cold, like, for example, the first, what I'm trying to think about, a long time ago, I saw, like, when I was little, in other words, I used to think, like, once you get, there's some kind of magical thing when you get to adulthood, and you know, you're in control of stuff, everything's going to be okay, things are just different, you know, like, people grow up, they're more mature, they're serious, they, you know, have it all under control and full confidence, all systems go, and it's like clockwork, and, you know, a lot of unsurety is gone, just whatever. There's just this adulthood, you know, manifestation or graduation to or something. And in some sense there is, and maybe it's a lot later, but a lot of people, you know, still are playing their, you know, like when I look at the presidential race, like Hillary Clinton's, like, you know, still in Marco Rubio and all these people, they're still like running for class president to me and just trying to be the most popular person, the person who's an elitist, you know, the person that, you know, probably runs the school newspaper too or whatever. I don't, but the person that, yeah, just kind of bulldozes through to get their agenda, whatever they want. and has to have that acknowledgement to be the head of everything. And in some ways, that could be good at certain times. You know, there isn't a one-size-fits-all. And but what I was thinking about when I wrote "You're a Big Baby" wasn't that. It was, but I can say, like, a long time ago, I saw one of my parents as, all of a sudden, I was looking at them, and I was just thinking and picturing them as a kid, as a youngster, and it really made me think of them in a different way, and then I started just mind experimenting of just imagining other people as kids, even people that are old and gray, and sometimes old people start to act like kids, you know, and so I was able to see the kid in them. I mean, sometimes I would just imagine being in other people's shoes as well. I don't know why I did that, but it was kind of a thought experiment. But I imagine hopefully most people have tried that. But anyways, whether you have or not, I think most people have. You know, I'm that guy from Terminator just calling out, has anyone else picture themselves in other people's shoes just for the fun of it? Just you should do a Gallup poll on that, and I would hope it's over 80%, you know. Just seeing who all is robots out there or not. And if you are, that's great, you know, just as long as we're all good. But so you're a big baby. I can imagine Hillary Clinton as, you know, running for that high school president or whatever, and you know, Donald Trump as a little baby, a young little Jesse Ventura, and lots of different people. And some people have that kid in them, you know, and that's good. I think that's what, you know, like in the Bible, it talks about seeing people as kids or being kids or just having that thing where, you know, that spirit, per se, of living life to the fullest. And so that's something to think about. And another thought about that is, if you can have the empathy to put yourself in other shoes or to see them in a different light at their best, I mean, sometimes you can't help what goes in your mind and you're seeing someone at their worst, but try to balance that out and also try to see them at their best or their best potential or some points when they were innocent, I guess, is maybe why I was thinking that. But it's interesting. And now finally, might makes right. I think that's almost what philosophy almost is for, because, and you can think of it in different ways, might makes right. I think, you know, I mean, that's almost what you would call survival of the fittest, the law of the jungle or something like that. You could even say that that exists, but it might not, in a big scale, I mean, it exists. I mean, you know, the might of a black hole is, you know, at least to our civilization, makes rights, right? We have to kind of, you know, move out of the way for the semi-truck when it's crossing the streets. And there's just certain things, but that are like that in life. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you let a pedestrian cross the street, right? I mean, not everyone does, but, you know, hopefully about 99.9% of people do that. And that has to do with philosophy. And so, and the point I'm trying to make with that is, and seeing it in the bigger picture, because even if the semi-truck driver had the rights to always butt ahead, and, you know, the high school president always had the rights to whatever, have better access and better connections and, you know, a playing field, a home field advantage for every game. you know, in promising, you know, getting power through promises. But what is in the big picture, I mean, maybe, and it depends how much mightier something is. I mean, a black hole is way mightier, right, compared to someone that's just a little bit. So, I mean, you have to think about it. It makes a difference if someone's just maybe a little bit more, you know, let's just say capable in things, but in certain things. And so we all need to just be able to coexist, because there's a bigger might that makes right, that by coexisting all together, in the long run, it's a win-win-win for everyone involved. You know, even the egomaniacs, plus the, you know, people who aren't the silent majority. So, you know, the might of philosophy, the might, you know, you might think it's more efficient just to steamroll over stuff and get your way. But is it in the big picture? When you take a step back, when you see the forest through the trees, you know, hopefully it doesn't take you a long time and you're, you know, beating your head against the wall per se. And you finally realize that, you know, there's a stronger might. And that's the philosophical argument, that it doesn't contradict with, you know, efficiency. It is efficiency, but it also is right. It feels morally right. It feels fair, you know, kind of like giving a person a way out or something. So keep that in mind, won't you? So I had some other topics. Obligated. Let's talk about politics a little bit. Do you want to? We can talk about Star Wars if you prefer, but we could talk about Star Wars in politics if you want. We can talk about a long time ago, far, far away, or right here, in the here and now, today, we have, someone once said, you can run from politics, or you can ignore politics, but politics ain't going to ignore you. And politics going to find you. You know, you could run around and you could run to the beach. You could swim in the ocean, go in a submarine, find an island, you know, and politics is going to find you, with a black helicopter that you can't even hear coming. And it's going to say, we want you to give us your share of taxes. You're obligated. So what are you obligated to do? If you have a child, I guess you know your obligation is to make the world a better place for them, right? And again, what's picture? Like, what is your sight and vision, you know, capable of? And so right now, if you don't know, and maybe, you know what, maybe if a tree falls in a forest and no one observes it, it doesn't happen. And maybe if you ignore politics, like, it'll just completely go away, you know. And maybe you're setting an example to do that. I mean, half the population don't vote, but someone has to tell them the news that, I don't know, from what I'm seeing on news, unless if it's all just made up and I'm like just so caught up and take things so seriously, I mean, there's news out there that shows we're getting ripped off left and right from these trade deals, from, you know, our government being infiltrated by money and politics from special interests and stuff like that. And, you know, we can change that because we have the ability to vote these people out or in, and by doing that, I feel like we're just so short-sighted on how good, I mean, you know, in the year 2000, we're supposed to, you see that movie 2000 and 2010? That's what they were thinking 2000 and 2010 was supposed to be in the 70s. You know, it's nothing like that. I mean, in some ways we have advanced a lot. And yes, maybe they were pushing the envelope a little bit. But, I mean, I think people are just happy watching, you know, daytime talk shows and stuff like that, where they're not dreaming big like that. I mean, you know, we could talk about the minimum wage, or, you know, what's going to happen, though, when automation has most of the jobs. I mean, that is going to eventually happen, whether it's 50 years from now, 400 years from now. It's something that's going to happen. Kind of like, you know, kind of like, I mean, just anything that is just eventually keeps pushing forward is going to happen. Automation is coming. I mean, and when that happens, and it's already here partly, so what is the answer to that? I mean, in order for people to survive in this kind of civilization, they need to either make more money or reduce their expenses. And everyone talks about ways to make more money, raising the minimum wage. There's no jobs. The way you're going to have to do it is reduce expenses. That's the other equation. And you think, oh, well, how much expenses can you reduce? Well, it can be just as significant as raising incomes, is what I meant to say, incomes, and reducing expenses. And I mean, what are people's biggest expenses? Food, their home, their mortgage, their travel expenses like gasoline, a car, maybe healthcare or other kinds of maybe investments into a business or something like that. College for school. So some of these things we could have public options. I mean, a public option is something that's like the post office. It's publicly run. It has complete transparency and review by elected people. It pays for itself, usually, like by stamps, like the post office, and it's completely voluntary. You don't have to use a post office. It's there. It's not hurting anything. It's voluntary, but people have, you know, Benjamin Franklin is the one who founded it, and it's a good service, and it's about, it was yesterday's internet, basically, and so it's so important to communicate to keep society going that there's a public option, and it pays for itself and is voluntary. And to me, that's ideal. You know, there could be, and so, you know, these are like the commons. You know, I do believe people who want to be left alone should be able to opt out and coexist with the rest of us. But at the same time, we should be able to have public options. And these are basic fundamental things like water, like a fire department. They're not like making shoes or anything in the marketplace per se. I mean, and not to say other things couldn't compete. I mean, there's FedEx, there's UPS, there's plenty of competition. And even post office sometimes have its arms behind its back because it gives up a lot because it wants to allow those other ones. But there should be no problem with public options. I think, you know, we should have one for health insurance, and that should be voluntary. You shouldn't be forced to put your money into a private corporation. And I mean, these are just fair fundamental things. And, you know, you shouldn't be able to pay to bail out your competition. You know, of course, that's wrong. And so what if we had a public option banking system? You wouldn't have to collect taxes because there'd be a banking system that would introduce circulation from the bottom up. and people would still compete for the dollars, and you could still gather a lot if you were offering, if you created a new app or something, then you could still be rewarded and incentivized to get rich, and you can still work elsewhere. But we would have a public option, and with the greenbacks, and I would propose, you know, everyone gets like $15,000 or $12,000 as a guaranteed annual income, and you could totally get rid of the tax code, totally get rid of Social Security, Medicare. You could have public options for like a Medicare, and that way we know everyone's going to get at least enough money to not starve and be able to take care of themselves, and everyone would get it equally, and it would trickle up. And so if you want to store it in a bank, you can store it in a bank and they can invest it or do whatever. And but they would have to earn your business to do that. And instead of them lending you and creating the money is created through you and you give it to them. And in a savings account that collects interest. And so I don't know. I mean, that's just one thought. And I think a very powerful one that's going to resolve, and then open up land and let people start to homestead and teach and education people how to grow their own food. I mean, if everyone had a good farm and a community and everyone was growing enough food, you could trade locally, still have great grocery stores getting food from all different places. And, you know, we can invest in some things like solar for everyone and space, the final frontier. And I do think, you know, this is supposed to be the year of the outsider. And so I encourage you to vote for who you believe in. And so I think it's, you know, it'd be interesting to see a Bernie Sanders there in the presidency. Not that he can do it all, but that would definitely send a message to the establishment, and maybe 4 years of someone who's genuine would be a good thing. You know, I think Trump sends a message to the establishment. He has a lot of warning signs, though, and you have to pay attention to those warning signs. I think he's better than the rest, probably. It's hard to say. They're all pretty bad, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I do think it's very important to support an independent or third-party candidate for Congress. You know, that's your second branch of government. That's more local. You have a local congressperson. There's like 400 and something of them across the U.S., and they all kind of come together in one body, and they actually have just as much power as the president or the judges. That's your direct representation. And so that, you know, you can watch them on C-SPAN, actually. There's a channel called C-SPAN that you can watch them talk all day and stuff like that. And they're talking about, you know, laws and how they affect you and stuff like that. So at least Bernie Sanders is against that, trade deals. He's against the drug war. He's for education. He's against big bailouts for the banks. And he's for privacy. You know, he's not bought and sold out. And so the rest of them, you know, I don't have enough time right now, but, you know, it's about 60 more seconds remaining here. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Philosophy Show.